Well, welcome everybody to the Golf Course Finance Committee. This is the second time we've met about the particular issues at hand. And we'll begin again, if we can, just by a really quick introduction, mostly just names, so everybody remembers who they are around the corner. And then we're going to do something a little bit different this time. We're going to have time for public comment. Now, I know someone here has done this more effectively and more often than I have.
More often, anyways.
Okay, can I do that? Can I pass that down to you, Gary? Will you give me the idea of how best to handle that?
Sure.
Do you a sign-up list, is what you usually do, or?
At this point, it's probably too late for a sign-up list, so I would just invite anyone that
wants
to come up.
All right. I like that.
So just
that
3 minutes up to 3 minutes per person.
Yeah, you don't have to take, don't feel compelled to take 3 minutes unless you really, really are on fire. But
up to 20 minutes.
Oh, that's
long.
Nice.
And give it up to 20 minutes max.
Yeah, I'm really going to shoot for 15 because I think we have a lot today, right,
okay,
on the agenda. Yes. So we're going to try and keep it short. If we're repeating ourselves, for sure, we're not going to go 15. But I want to make sure everything that needs to be said is said. So, all right, if you do, when you come up, if you just say your name and what your address is, we know where you're from.
Name and address.
That's it. Then we'll go ahead and get started. So we'll open it up now. Well, actually, first, let's introduce.
Hello, everybody. I'm Brent Aaron. Mark Horn.
Rob Olson.
Mark Webb.
Rob Crowley.
Rick Stewart.
David Driggs.
Gary Geege.
Trent Augustus.
Greg Gordon.
David Bunker.
Charles Lowe.
David Shaw.
I'm Eric Johnson.
Great. All right, we'll have deeper introductions there at the next phase, I think. But let's open it up then to public comment. If anyone would like to come up and take some time to share their feelings about the issues at hand, we'd be happy to hear from you. Don't be shy. Maybe. I suspect this meeting is going to go. It's going to use up the last drop of time, and you'll all want to go home when this is done. Okay, maybe that's the case. So we'll see if we have time, then we can sort it up. Go ahead.
Right?
Good.
Okay, Darren Simons, 10298 North Forest Creek Drive. Couple of quick things. First off, I have no problem with golf course, not a golf course. I don't care what we do with it. But what I would like to see is a one-time, last-time analysis of legally what we can do, what we can't do, what Cedars can stop, what the City of Highland can stop, and then see what we can do from there, if anything. Then last, but probably more so than anything else, if you look at it, I think on a $300,000 house, we pay approximately $150 for the golf course bond. I just soon see us take the St. Andrews things, turn it into a legitimate park similar to Creekside, and have another $150 on top of it to make it so that we have open space that people already expected. We pay $300 on a $300,000 house, and realistically, you pay that into your mortgage company, and you're not paying attention to the, what is that, $25 that you pay for it, and move forward and just get this issue away from being discussed ever again on the city stage. Thanks.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate your thoughts.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Can I just make a suggestion?
Yeah.
I would recommend that you handle all public comments up front and then close that part of the meeting so that the committee can debate and discuss ideas.
That's the plan. I think that's a good plan. Go ahead.
I just want to say that I'm Diane Kirk, 4486 Denton Drive, and I am not really a golfer. I golf maybe once every other year, but I walk through the golf course sometimes three times a week and ride my bike through it on the trail, and I absolutely love it. It is gorgeous. I think it is going to be a lot more money to make it into parks, and what are we going to get from it? Well, we can make it into parks. At least we're bringing in some money into the golf course. And I love the golf course, even though I'm not really a golfer.
Thanks, Diane.
I'm Travis Kirk, 4486 once a week. I think what's being used for the land is the most wise decision as a golf course right now. Turning it into a park would be a stupid idea, and if it's being twice as used as it is.
Thanks, Travis. You can realize if three of you stand up, you have to pay for the golf course. That's the problem.
Ken Kirk, same address as the other two.
That's right.
You know, I have to like Aaron's comments. We've been fighting this golf course for 15 years. It's time we got it settled somehow, and definitely in some way, because there's too much diversity in this community because of it. Now, I'm a golfer. Everybody knows about I'm a golfer. I've bought a season pass up here for years. I'm a season pass holder right now. I started playing golf up here as soon as I moved into the city. I like the golf course. But that doesn't mean I can't go play golf someplace else. I'm playing golf tomorrow morning with my brother. We happen to be playing Cedar Hills. But I've played with him at Thanksgiving Point and at Fox Hollow and we've gone other places. So, you know, it's not that I depend on this golf course for my livelihood. I don't. I like the course. I think it's a great course. It's well maintained for the budget that it has. But we need to get it settled. And, you know, I served on city council for 4 years, and the councils before I served on it looked at this problem, and the councils after have looked at this problem. And I don't know where the decision is made that it hasn't been looked into before or enough, but dadgummit, it's got time to get it settled, because we need to bring this community together. We're all losing money. We all are losing money. It's not just on the golf course, which is what I understand starting to show an increase in income. I don't know if it's profitable or not. It's not my job. But we're losing money on our property values. We're losing money on people not moving here. Businesses have said you got too many problems in Cedar Hills because of the golf course. Let's get it solved. Let's hear what the attorneys have to say. And, you know, we've already had two public votes on this golf course over the last 15 years, one in 2001, one in 2005. And we had a majority vote by the citizens that said keep the golf course, pay the debt. We pay our debts. That came over the pulpit of some of our churches even. It's about time we started thinking about what we're doing and quit spending money on arguing about it.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Ken Cromer. I would agree with getting the address and all that. My date's in Meadow Drive, Cedar Hills, former city council member, 42,000, researcher for Cedar Hills Citizens for Responsible Government. I actually agree with Ken Kirk and Simon, who I've only ever spoken to on the phone, and others, that we absolutely need to get this thing solved once and for all. And I'll tell you how I think it, how the only way that that will happen and that the contention will end is that the citizens finally get all the information, year-by-year losses, front page of the newsletter, and an understanding of what options are available, and then have public discussion and bring these things to a vote of the citizens. We've never had all the facts. We've had two votes. One was on the golf course with the bad information. The second vote was not about the golf course, but about the fund. The citizens have not had their voice on this and need to have their voice. I actually think that Rob Crawley's work is fantastic in that he's the only financial expert on the city council or this committee. And when I say financial, excuse me, you're a city employee, but I mean as far as a council and a committee member. And my understanding is that Rob actually went to the city finance office and checked the numbers. Is that not correct? Are the numbers... Do you dispute the numbers being accurate that Rob has provided? Charles, right? I don't really know how they were. Would you dispute the numbers?
I don't think you've seen everything he's put out. It would be irresponsible for him to audit something. Well, I would say Mark, we'll have Mark talk about his credentials. That might help you feel
okay.
better
as, about it. As an accounting expert, CPA kind of information. So last thing is that as much as I like Rob's, I think his proposal, his option that he's been discussing, that's evolving, is very, very good. I don't think that that's the only one. I think I've got some ideas that I think are better. And I actually heard one from a neighbor the other day that I thought was really good that would actually be now the third or fourth approach. And that is to offer the golf course to the Cedars free of charge. Let them have the golf course free of charge under a couple of provisos. One, that they pay the bond, they pay for the employees, they pay for the maintenance, they pay for everything, and they get to profit thereby or lose thereby. And the second part of the proviso would be that if they decide that they don't want to continue with that bird, that they return it back to the city and in the same quality that it was, and because it could not be sold for profit on their part.
Let's go 20 seconds if you want to finish.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So I would have strongly encouraged this committee to seriously consider making sure that by the September newsletter, whatever information there is to be had, allow Rob, who's led the charge, to have his presentation put on that front page so that it can be a discussion and have this be the election issue that it should have been for the last 10-plus years.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Anybody else? Please, come in.
Daniel Zapala, 10341 North Cottonwood Drive. I don't get to stand before you and make comments too often. I'm usually on the other side of the table. So I just wanted to make one quick comment, which was to point out that in the 10 years I've been here, we've had numerous elections on the golf course because we continue to have slates of candidates running who are opposed to the golf course, who want to shut it down. And they usually code that in, quote, looking at options, but they really want to shut it down. And not yet have we had any of the residents have spoken. Thanks.
Thank you. Is that it? Going once? There you go. Come on up.
I'm Chris Pinkston for 077 Hayes Circle. I moved here a year ago. I was up in the townhomes renting, and one of the reasons why I decided to actually move here is because I do love the golf course. I think it's beautiful. I don't golf. I think I've only been twice since I've lived here. But I hope to plan on doing so in the future once my kids are a little bit older and I have some time. I'd like to learn and do some more of it. But a lot of people around the state, actually, they see Cedar Hills as the golf course. You know, I've lived in cities before where we hear a lot of that there are going to be parks and there are going to be soccer fields and there are going to be libraries and a lot of things. And a lot of times it's sold to developers and it's just houses after houses after houses after houses after houses. And so I've lost a lot of trust, you know, from elected officials, but I really like it here. I really like the golf course. I like the fact that deer run around and, you know, that it's open spaces, and I think it's very beautiful. So it'll be interesting to get some of the information because I hear one thing, I hear another thing, I hear another thing. And so there's a lot of misinformation out there for everybody to make that choice. But I just wanted to publicly go on record that I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a positive thing for the community, and I just wanted to say that publicly.
Thank you.
It's obvious which side I'm on. I was out enjoying the putting green. So, Kurt Peterson, 10629 Bermuda. I do live in the Cedars. I have a bias. I moved here because of the golf course. I was here on business long before I ever thought I'd be a resident of Utah. Happened to play the golf course. When we decided to move to the state of Utah, we were looking at North Utah County. We had choices. And I remembered that great little golf course and that great little community. And so we ended up buying a place here in the Cedars. Now I understand there are people who were upset at decisions made 15 years ago by other elected officials. They feel that maybe they were betrayed or weren't told the whole truth. But I feel that if the city decides to do away with the golf course, you've let a lot of people down, like myself, who moved here, made a choice to move to Cedar Hills because we saw something that we wanted. And it's not for everybody. We may disagree on how a municipality is to spend their money, but I think we are in competition with neighboring communities. If we want to grow Cedar Hills, we have to offer something. We'll never agree on what that is. I may not be a swimmer, but if enough people say we have a swimming pool, I think it's great. We should probably have it. But I think it would be a shame for us to destroy a beautiful golf course that has come a long ways in my time, my 9 years here. I think it would be a tremendous waste. So I want to agree with that.
Thank you. I do.
Sorry, missed the first part. I don't know what exactly was said, but
name and address is all.
Mike Geddes, 9644 Winchester Drive, currently city councilman for the city of Cedar Hills. I just want to say thank you to the committee for your time and efforts. And I actually want to thank Rob for his time and effort in putting a proposal out to the community. While I stand here completely biased and against that proposal, I have publicly stated that many times, I welcome another side in the discussion. So I know you guys will do a good job. All I can say is I think, I only heard the last comment, but I'm in 100% agreement. I mean, I have lived here for 16 years, so I've been here since the golf course was initiated, built. I was a season pass holder for every single year. So I absolutely promote it. And I think as a community going forward, we need to, you know, whatever the decision is, you know, my bias is that it remains a golf course. And, you know, if it does, it does. I think it should. But if that's the case, we need to be united as a community. This is a, you know, do you know how many communities out there would love to have the space to build a golf course in their community? It would be, it's uncanny. I mean, Orem, Provo's moved their golf course 3 times. They'd love to have another one, I think. Anyway, enough said on that. Anyway, good luck. Do a good job. I know you will. Thank you, Rick, Chairman, and the rest of you.
Anybody else, please come up. How's our time? Does anybody start up in the beginning of this? I think
we have about 5 or 6 more minutes.
Okay. So make one more comment after you. You're bringing home.
Okay. Marisa Wright, 9102 Silver Lake Drive. You don't know me, but I know your wife. I grew up with her, and I was there when she was picked up with you. So, and I ran into her hearts, and she told me how brilliant you were, and it was confirmed on the chat room by other people from the last meeting, so I have to confirm myself. I have complete confidence in this board, in your ability to crunch the numbers. And this is not the first time this has happened. I believe this is the third body that's been put together to look at these numbers. When I first moved in 10 years ago, my neighbor down the street, Rich Jardine, said, oh, I was on the golf course committee. I don't even know if we have a record of that actual committee. And then 2 years there was another committee. So as far as I know, in the 10 years I've lived here, there's been 3 committees. We keep coming around to the same place. When I hear people, I'm the admin in the chat room, that's where all of the frustration and hurtful feelings are, the contention is coming down right now. And I just feel like, A, don't read it if it makes you so frustrated. Just let this body do its job. And I'm completely confident that your numbers will come back around to the same place that they did these last 2 times that these committees met. And to the people who say only 10% of the people in this town golf, A, I don't know how you get those numbers, but let's say it's 10%. I've never golfed on our course. I have ridden a cart through as a council member just to get the layout of land. But I love the course. I bought in part because of the course being up against the mountain. Open space is beautiful. So just because you don't golf doesn't mean that this property is not a value to our community. So I think that argument is completely invalid. So I really, everything I've heard about you, completely respect that they put you up in the place. I'm excited that they put a financial, my wife calls you a genius.
I married her. I paid off her debts.
So she calls you a financial genius. I'm so grateful that we have you at the head. And as the admin of the chat room, we are going to be asking people to stop commenting. And just if you would please, at the end of these meetings, put stuff out there, facts. Because it's all so much hearsay, and it's stirring up the residents so much
And we would just really like it to come from the horse's mouth. I think it would be so much healthier for the community.
Did she just call you a horse?
Yes. That's balance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Last one?
Yeah,
you good?
Last one.
All right.
My name is Susan Wagstaff, and I am at 4083 Cimarron. I live in the Cedars. And I just want to say I've lived in North Utah County almost all of my life and have loved it and moved to Cedar Hills and loved it. But I get really tired, and I know this has been said before, is I don't feel we have a voice. And then I feel like every time an election year comes around, our area is picked as the one that's picked on constantly, because how can we save Cedar Hills money? And I don't know if people understand that we pay taxes just like everybody else does, but we maintain our own roads, they're plowed, we are in charge of paving them. So you're making profit off of us. But then you come around and say, why don't you guys take responsibility for the golf course that Cedar Hills voted on before we even were here? And I don't think that that's fair. I don't think that that's right. Cedar Hills voted for this golf course. They voted to take the bond. They voted to have the responsibility to pay their debts, and I think that's important. I don't golf, but I walk the trail 7 days a week. I enjoy it. I think it's beautiful. I've had weddings here, family parties, and I think if you change that and, you know, put in weeds, houses, empty spaces, you're going to lose out on the profit that you're making from the reception center, too, because I think that makes a huge profit for Cedar Hills and adds a huge amenity to it, too. So I would hope that we could just lay this to rest once and for all, and it doesn't have to come up every election year and make our area feel like that it's being attacked by the rest of Cedar Hills all the time.
Thank you for your comments. I know it's scary, because it's scary on all sides of the table, so I appreciate your energy and for doing that. Let's go ahead then and, oh, please.
Are you recording this meeting tonight?
It is, Jenny. Yes? Yes, we are.
Good. I actually did what Mayor Geeky asked me after the last meeting. Rob Crowley, a week later, spent the better part of the day downloading videotape and creating audio files and whatnot. I'm working on getting the video compressed and load up tomorrow. But right now, the audio file is loaded. You can find it on Facebook through a link there. And so you're welcome to pull that down from Dropbox. But I'd encourage you, the audio is really bad. And is that the old microphone right there? If it is, especially people that are at the far edge, you need to speak up, because we wouldn't be able to hear you if you don't. Especially Rob. Rob's very, very quiet.
Only one Rob on this table is quiet. Okay. Thank you. We'll work on that. All right. Okay. Priscilla, welcome. Yeah, you didn't get. We're here for the introductions. We're glad to have you here. Today, last time we spoke quite a bit about accounting issues. Today we want to speak quite a bit about legal issues. And so we're going to turn some time over to the city attorney, David Shaw, and the previous city attorney, Eric Johnson, that has spent a lot of time in the past with us as well, and get some perspectives on really, you know, what the city's options are. So I guess we'll just turn it to each of you to give us a presentation. Is that fine? And then allow the panel to ask some questions, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is there an order you'd like to go in that makes sense between the two of you?
I guess I'll start. I'm David Shaw with the law firm Curtin McConkey, newly serving as your city attorney, and so we've been working to get up to speed on this issue. I appreciate Eric being here with the great historical perspective that he has, certainly look forward to his commentary. With respect to this issue, it's a multi-layered issue. Let me put it that way, from a legal perspective. There are the bonds and bond covenants. There's a development agreement. There's a conservation easement. There's the relationship with Highland, because part of the golf course actually is in Highland as part of their open space plan. There are CC&Rs that potentially come into play. And so when analyzing the legalities of any of these proposals, they have to be viewed in accordance with this layered approach. And what may be doable under CC&Rs may not be doable under bond documents. Or what may be doable under a bond document may not be doable under a development agreement.
And so to marry it up so that all of those things are there for a perfect day, so to speak, is a very complicated process. I guess with that, I'll jump out on a tangent and simply say that given all of that, we have to be very careful as your legal advisors and you as a committee not to divulge potential legal strategies that if you were to move forward with a proposal or a series of proposals, might jeopardize those proposals. Likewise, we don't want to inadvertently expose the city to litigation risk. We don't want to expose the city to other types of deal risks. And so part of what we may talk about tonight, we may have to invoke the right to say, gee, that's a topic best discussed in executive session. And we would hope that you as a committee would respect that, and that the citizens here would respect that as well. Our job as your legal advisors is to protect you against legal risk. Your job is to weigh those legal risks in the balance of the politics, the business side, the money side, and to make the best decision for the city, weighing all those factors as you go. I don't envy your task. And so with that multi-layered approach established, I'd be happy to answer questions as we go that are perhaps more detailed, but don't really want to get into much more detail because I think it could potentially expose legal strategy.
Do you concur on this, both the two of you together? Yes, that's that. There's, is it really limited how much we can discuss, or?
I don't think it's necessarily a limitation, as it is that I don't want to set your agenda. I'd rather answer the legal questions in the context of where do you as a committee want to go.
First question I'll ask, I guess, as things stand right now, are any of these proposals possible with the covenants that we have right now? Is any of it legal now? Could you just move forward and begin, tear down the golf course, rezone, recommit assets to something else?
There are legal impediments to changing the use of the golf course to something else. One of the layers are IRS regulations that apply because of the debt that was incurred on the golf course when it was initially constructed. And even just changing the use by the city into something else implicates those IRS regulations that make it difficult. In other words, it's not at the discretion of the city. It just decides.
I don't know if you know the specific regulations you're citing by chance from IRS grants. I just don't know where they are. I go even some points, or can you say that?
Yeah, that's between section it's section 103 and section 141 through 149.
Thanks. I'm sure it'll be savvy reading.
I have the 9-volume set. It talks about them. It's non-legal.
Okay.
Get right on that.
We'll get Rob working on that. That's good.
Just a suggestion to you, Rick. Maybe,
it's open for you. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe we should have the agenda be to go through the questions that the committee has asked them and just have them answer those one at a time.
We can do that.
Yeah, that's you have that list.
I don't. I assume that would be part of the presentation. So,
I
can pull it up.
I've got most.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So, the first one I think you answered because it has to do with whether the bond itself is a restriction on the property use and affects the repayment and whatever. Okay, the next question was are there legalities that bind the city and the golf course and the covenants with the Cedars?
So the development agreement is a document that establishes certain certain provisions relative to the densities, relative to where the open space is, what the golf course is considered open space. And the interesting thing is the development agreement may have been recorded against the properties. And so one very simple thing that may have to be done in a change of use scenario, for example, is a some sort of a change in the recording of that development agreement against the properties. Now, I don't know what it means that it's recorded against the properties, but that's something that would have to be considered. Likewise, the CCNRs are recorded against many of those properties. I don't know if it's all. We haven't done an exhaustive search. But what that certainly would do is potentially require us to go back and analyze that and what to do about it. Some of the citizens have spoken tonight about moving here with the expectation that there's a golf course. Well, what does that mean in the context of the development? I don't know the answer to those questions, but they do become questions.
And does that leave the city open to lawsuits?
If it's hardwired in to the documents that they had at their disposal when they moved in here, does that leave the city open if we start changing those?
So what I'll say about that in more of a broad sense is that the plaintiff's bar is active, and there are lots of lawyers willing to win lots of cases. Whether that gives rise to litigation risk, I think I'll defer any discussion of potential litigation risk against the city to an executive session.
Does the city have any binding agreements with contractors, employees, and so on that are attached to the golf course that we would be breaking if we were to dissolve the golf course?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't believe so, but I don't know. I don't know the status of, for example, the situation with the Golf Pro. I know with other cities I've worked with, oftentimes it will be an employment contract with the Golf Pro. I don't know if there's one here, but it would be that a little further. That would be on the list of risks. It would be on the lower end of the scale.
Would a conservation easement required of the developer in the development agreement restrict the city in any way? And if so, could we overcome that?
In terms of the conservation easement, are what they are. Could it be terminated? Yes, potentially. And we've been looking into the issue of how might those be best terminated should the city want to do so.
Who can terminate them?
Well,
who has to terminate them?
It depends on who holds the conservation easement. And so in this case, it depends on where on the golf course it is. For example, this is the Highland City Conservation Easement. And we believe that there may be one of those in place. Or is it a Cedar Hills Conservation Easement? In Cedar Hills, it's an easier argument than if it's Highland City.
But if it's Highland City, it would probably only count on holes 1 through 9. There wouldn't be any easement, which we're pretty much... I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we've written off holes 1 through 9. Rob?
Well, I was going to bring it up, and maybe we could just take that off the table or put it back on, but maybe between Mayor Beebe and our attorney, just go back and talk about what Highland City has said and what we can do with it, what we can't do with it, what the zoning is right now, and maybe put holes 1 through 9 to bed.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. So Highland City has not put anything in writing. So, but I have talked with their mayor. I have talked with their council. I've approached their council in a council meeting setting and talked to them about boundary adjusting Cedar Hills land back into Cedar Hills City out of Highland City and allowing us to build our maintenance building where it currently exists. And their answer was silence. They didn't answer it. So I talked with them later, and one of their council members said that they have no interest in allowing Cedar Hills to boundary adjust. And from here until eternity, they want the land that's in Highland to be green space. Now, he didn't say whether that meant it has to be a golf course or whether it had to be just parks and then maintained. So we didn't get into the weeds in terms of that. But what I can say with confidence is that I think they have zero interest in allowing any homes to be built there.
At the very least, it's completely outside of our control.
Yeah.
Right.
I talked to them a little bit about it too, just to find out what they thought. And they said it's in an R140 zone, which means that the homes, if there were homes built there, then they would be 40,000 square feet, which is close to an acre. So they'd have to be on paper lots. But there is easements that are out there that they'd have to, you know, work with us on. So it's, you know, I talked to the planning, the zoning manager about that, and I think it would be a struggle, but I think it is zoned for housing at this current point. R140 zone is a housing zone too, but there is other problems with that. There are easements going through.
I think the zoning is what it is. The council is the one who makes that decision, the council of the mayor. It wouldn't be the city planner. And so my information, I think, is pretty accurate when the council says they are not going around with building homes there. Now, they could change their mind because future councils, you know, can do whatever they want. But the current council has said that Highland City does not want anything but wide open green spaces there.
And would there be any reason for them to want anything but wide open green spaces there? They don't own the land, right?
Right. Maybe as soon as we stop paying for a golf course, they'd be willing to talk. But that wouldn't be very fun. So, yeah, that's...
Do you know which, we'll just constantly talking about holes, which ones are in floodplains, which ones are unbuildable, if you will, or?
1 through 9.
1 through 9?
And 10.
So it's in the zone. So maybe zone for 1 acre lots and houses, but they're in floodplains, right?
Right. So there's certain restrictions you have to overcome. There's some precautions you have to take in flood zones to build there. And it just depends on how close it is to the river. I think how restricted they would be in that case.
The next question, it's Rob's question anyway, okay. So I'm going to let him ask it since he knows what it is you want to know.
That one's kind of repetitive, so I'll skip that one. Let's see. The restrictions in the development agreement are mostly the city restricting the developer, Lone Peak Links, from doing things like developing more than 725 lots. Also, at the time of the signing, the city expected the developer to run the golf course and take that risk. It turns out that the developer's funding fell through and they could not fund the golf course. Wouldn't the city be free from the original obligations they required of the developer since it was the city requiring it of the developer and not the other way around?
I guess I'll take a stab at that. Let me introduce myself just a little bit. I'm Eric Johnson. I served as the city attorney from 2004 to the beginning of this year. In 2004 to 2008, I didn't live here, but I liked the community so much that I didn't live here. And so from 2005 to 2007, the city did extensive analysis about all of this stuff. There isn't anything that is being presented today that was not previously considered a decade ago. And it was explored extensively, including conversations with people who might be interested in purchasing the golf course from around the nation. What's the adage? Nothing new under the sun. So we're just going over things that have been gone over. So the development agreement, I think the premise behind it is if there is something about the development agreement that is a little bit different than was anticipated when it was introduced, you get out from underneath felony agreement and have greater discretion. I haven't seen enough of a difference that would give the city carte blanche just to move forward. And the general is that for a large part of the golf course, the development agreement probably still has some obligation.
I have a question related to that a little bit. It's a little zag. We had citizens who stood up today who asked the question, you know, when can all this end? And you, like you're saying now, this goes on and on and on every year, every 2 years. Who decides that it ends? That's the question. I don't, you know, who brings it up all the time? Who decides that it ends? Is there something that a city council can do? Is there an initiative that a city council or a city can take when we've decided on this and we want it to end? We're looking at a lot, it looks like we're looking at a lot of legal hills to climb, a lot of legal walls to overcome, something that's not going to happen by November, right? Or it just won't happen, period. No matter how good we are at this, right? Is there something, is there another layer that can be added to this if the citizens of Cedar Hills decide, I want this to end, I'm tired of this discussion, I want it more airtight so we don't have to do this every 2 years?
The strongest power would be to adopt an ordinance. However, an ordinance cannot bind the future city council. The future city council decides to modify it or just get rid of an ordinance, it has the power to do that. The citizens have a coterminous power with the city council with respect to legislation that they can exercise through an initiative, or if they don't like something the council has done, they can exercise through a referendum. It's not more powerful than the city council, it's just a decision. Again, even if a vote were taken to pass an initiative, ordinance, the new city council could be elected in the state. So if you're saying, is there something that you know, can forever put this to bed? The answer is not if there is a change in the political world within the city.
Okay. And we can get a answer to the question over office staff, right? You can give that. That last question wasn't answered right, but right?
No, we've talked about it so much, I forget what it was. Oh, yeah, are we, do we, can we be held to the original obligations when the developer seemed like they didn't pull to their part, which was maintaining the golf?
I think I did address that in saying I have not seen enough of a change that would then just give the city carte blanche to.
Okay.
And to add to that, Utah courts generally are willing to enforce development.
Can't be a desire, like we just want to do this, has to be some other egregious matter.
Hey, just one more. So you're saying the courts are willing to enforce against either party, but it sounds like we've already had a party who default. Has anything been done about that?
The party, I don't know what you mean when you say.
I'm sorry, Rob, you started asking the question about how the original developer defaulted with my impression.
Well, I've heard different stories, so I don't know which one is accurate, but I heard that they were going to get funding and manage it, and then that fell through, but maybe that wasn't all in official agreement.
That's what I
was referring to. It has, everything transpired exactly as the development agreement anticipated. The answer is no. Has there been a sufficient change in what has transpired to get the city out from underneath the development?
I wasn't asking about getting us out. I was saying enforcing on the other party. Has anybody ever looked into that?
Which party? Because the city purchased the golf course rather than the developer developing it?
I probably need to clarify. So we purchased it. We originally thought they were, but we purchased it, so that relieved them of that obligation.
Clearly.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I was just trying to get understanding on that situation.
Other questions I have listed are repetitive to the ones that
Anybody else on the council have something to bring up?
Let me just ask something to clarify, and going back to Rick's question or statement. We've heard many times tonight that this has been rehashed over and over again many times, either by the council or by another golf course committee. Just wondering, has there ever been a statement put out by our legal counsel in the past regarding all of this, something that the citizens had to read as it relates to what the committee did, similar to what we're doing tonight. At the end of the process, was there ever anything that was presented by council saying, we can't do this, we can't do this?
I never prepared a white paper.
I think that adds to it. If I could, you know, if we could hand the future councilman that has questions like I've had, some paper that says here's what we can and can't do these things. But I do want to clarify one thing too. My question was more, we put a bunch of restrictions on the developer, assuming they were owning the property. Now, my question is, how are we held to that, or are we held to those restrictions we put on the developer when the assumption was that it was going to be them owning it, and we told them they have to have these restrictions, and now we own it, but we are the ones that put the restrictions on it. Are we going to be held to those restrictions? That was more my question. I just wanted to clarify that.
Let me see if you're asking a more specific question. Okay. And that is, if the density restrictions on the development could still bind the city.
Right, because we were binding the developer. Could they bind us now?
Did we step into the shoes of the developer when they bought it?
No.
Okay.
I have been consistent in telling the city that there would be challenges in exceeding the density under the development agreement without getting permission from the developer.
So permission from the developer. Okay.
I'm glad the white paper was brought up. That was actually something I was hoping to talk about a little later. I was thinking about this committee, and I missed the last meeting. I apologize. This is the third meeting, I believe. And I was thinking that maybe the objective of this committee should be the conclusion. We would draft the white paper. We would name who on the committee agreed with elements of the white paper, those that didn't. I think each meeting, when we talk about these things, I think we should have like a finding of fact and come to consensus, like we agree with this fact or disagree with that fact, so that as we get to the end of the process, we have all the information we need to create that white paper, versus at the end, trying to think of everything that was said along the way and try and create that. And I think we should deliver that to the city council.
If you look at item 3 on the agenda, that's great. I agree 100% with that. My thought, and we'll get to that when we get to it, but I think we need to begin to release some things along the road. We've discussed a lot as a committee that, you know, we're not releasing a lot of information until we have some that's good. We've begun to collect some good information. There were a lot of things that came up in the last meeting, I think, that needs to come out, because it comes out in other ways anyway, with perspective, right? And so it'd be nice to have some of that. And I think what happens with the legal, we'd have something with that today, something with the accounting like we did on the last meeting. And then eventually, I think we need to have just an idea of what we're trying to accomplish here more clearly. Right, Rob? And that's kind of clear. Okay. I guess I'm going to ask the question one more time just to get it, just to make sure the answer is clear. As of right now, everything on the list, the wish list, is as of right now impossible. As of now, as of let's go, let's start.
From the scheme,
right?
Without either negotiation or clarification somewhere along the lines.
And to make portions of it possible, or to make it possible, it isn't something that's going to happen at the city council level.
No, this is something that's going to take time and effort and cost. How much I have no way of putting a bell with them, because it depends on which course you go down. And so there are a variety of proposals that have been laid on the table. And so it depends as to which proposal we're talking about, as to whether or not it significantly impacts the bonds versus the development agreement versus the CCNRs, or all of the above, and all of that would take negotiation or some other form of change.
I would say that the proposal that I put out there, probably, I think everyone would agree that it requires all of the above. It would require negotiations on all those fronts that you mentioned, and putting a price tag on that will be hard. I think I might attempt to at least put a price tag on it for the city's benefit, at least a range, but it'd be really hard to put it on there. And but that's something that at least I'll try to do. So.
Okay, but the answer to your question as to could we go today with without further action of some sort, I think the short answer is no. Is it impossible to get there? I can't say that either. But just to go today and start, I think would be great.
And loose price tags I don't need. Charles, can you take, I mean, this is time. Is that a better route to help create at least some kind of a broad price tag with this? Working with the attorneys, maybe in an executive session, some kind of an idea? Is that hard to do?
The cost of litigation.
No, the cost of just jumping the hoops. The litigation is another story.
I don't see how you can
do it without
future, right?
We've just, Rob, to be honest, Rob, we've just seen so many numbers that come from there that I don't think anybody wants those numbers, I think, other than a few interested people.
First, you can't really just leave it wide open like that. There's no way.
We have no idea on these topics if these groups quickly agree with us and it's very expensive or whether they fight for years. That's the point. I mean, there's just no way to know, right?
Or whether you have to pay them off.
There's some things that might be quantifiable, like the bond.
Yeah.
So there's a few things that would be quantifiable, and at least we could attempt to do that. I don't know if Carol wants to attempt it or both of us and compare notes or what. But.
Hey, Chair,
first. Oh, yeah, please, Mark. Go ahead.
I was on the part of the committee 2 years ago. I've missed the first two meetings because I've been traveling. But just catching up, and I've read some of the emails and hearing what we've heard here. I'm not sure why we're even here. Why are we discussing this again, number one? And with everything in front of the city to try to change this, it feels we're on a fool's errand. We are wasting our time.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
If I may.
Please.
And so let me try and answer that for you, Mark. And so the council was presented with a statement, rather, by Mr. Crawley that he was going to do research on alternatives for the golf course. I felt like if that was going to be done by itself, then it would be better served if the golf course committee was reconstituted in order to have this type of a dialogue. So that was my thinking in terms of why we're here, is that I think that it gives the ability to either tell Mr. Crawley that his positions are right or poke holes in them. And I think that's what our committee is really doing, is if there's credibility to certain ideas he has, then we should say that. But if there's areas that need to be poked holes in, then we absolutely should do that. But I recognize that there's going to be lots of residents who feel the same way that you do, which is, why are we here again? It's a good point.
The question I would ask, which we didn't... Oh, please go ahead, Priscilla.
Well, I was just going to comment that generically, not specifically to the golf course, but I honestly think that every one of us in this room, because if you wouldn't be in, you would not be in this room if you didn't have this sense that one of the virtues of living in this country is the opportunity to have your position heard. Your position isn't necessarily agreed with by everyone, but you have a right to be heard. So, you know, I think Mr. Crawley's proposal had a right to be heard. Whether we agree or not is fine, but that's part of what a democracy is. And the Bill of Rights is established to protect the minority from the majority. The majority always gets their way because there's more of them. But the minority has freedom of speech and the right to actually be heard. And then once they're heard, then the majority can vote and decide what they want. But I think that we have to recognize that we all have a right and a desire to want our position understood. That's why many of you stood here and spoke, because you wanted your position heard. And I think that's just fair.
Thank you, Priscilla. I've got a question for Rob on this too, because this is one thing I've wanted to know about this. It's been interesting to look at, see what some of the options are, or what you would like to see, or the wish list, or whatever you want to say. What is kind of the end game? Were you looking for a citizens' initiative? I know that there's candidates you know, who are running have been on that side of the issue for at least a decade. The issue that says we need to repurpose this, do something else, shut it down. And usually, and a lot of those same folks are the ones, the reason why we come here over and over and over again. It just is. And so the fact, it adds a little bit of threat or worry on people. You know, there's some political theories that people feel strongly about, and there's people's homes and their lives that they are connected to. So it does create a lot of anxiety. So I guess a lot of people want to know is what does this end? Is it a citizens' initiative we're looking for in the end, or the city council to put something together? Or what was the end product of this that you were hoping to see? Because I know you wanted to vote on something. What did you want to vote on?
Okay, I mentioned a little bit about this the first meeting, but my first reason I got involved with the golf course about 4 or 5 years ago was because half the city was saying this golf course is making money. The other half was saying, no, it's losing a lot of money. And so I got involved to help get the financials a little more out there and summarize some of the numbers on them. And I think that we made a lot of clarity last time as a group. And I felt like that was good for the city because the fight was about how much is this golf course losing, or is it losing money, or whatnot. And I feel like we came together and said, okay, now we know what's going on with the golf course. But then, you know, there's the further away you get from the golf course, then the less it benefits you directly, and you're still paying the same amount. So there are people on this side of the city over here that still feel like it's not worth it to them. So you've got kind of us versus them fight going on still. And I hear it all the time down there. The people that live up here may not hear it, but I hear it in my neighborhood. And so my goal was first to clarify, is it losing money? How much? Let's all get on the same page with that. Second of all, if, you know, the first time it was voted on, it was a very thin majority, I heard 54 to 46, that voted for the golf course, and it was right after, you know, a flyer went out from city council and mayor saying that it was going to be $150,000 profit per year, and they quoted $1.5 million profit over 10 years. So that vote has been questioned by people on my end of town saying, would it be the same now if it went up for a vote? And so there's this back and forth still going on, I hear it. And so my goal with this was, can it change? If it can't, for whatever reason, which, you know, I've asked a lot of questions over the years and got very little by way of answers, and still haven't got all the answers that I had hoped for. Part of it is because we didn't have more than an hour to discuss this in executive session, but there'll be more answers coming. In the end, I might say, I agree with all of you folks that are here, you know, and this affects you guys more, that's why you're here tonight. You know, people that live up there are golf, you know, the golfers, the people that live close to that community, there's a lot of you here, and I hear you, and I want this to never happen again, honestly. But my goal in bringing it up was to say, is there any options? If there are options, are they better to the community as a whole to do a different option? If it is, let's look at it. Let's see, is it something that we want to do as a whole community? If it's not something we want to do, let's all agree that it's not something we want to do and put this to bed forever, but get all the questions out there. But there has been a shroud of anyone who asks questions gets shouted down by the group that loves the golf course. And what'd you say?
Who's the majority, though?
I don't know. Because
we better not.
One thing too is anytime we've done all these surveys, we've never once dared to ask the question, would you rather have a golf course if you had an option or not have it? So we don't know, and that's because I think we've never dared ask the question. But I don't know what the majority is. I have no idea who the majority is at this point. But if all the information's out there, then I think that if we can do it, maybe we should have a vote. If we can't do it, which we might end up getting there, then we don't even need a vote, and it should go to bed. And I think that, you know, go be put to bed forever. And I think that we'll be in a better position after having this discussion. That, you know, I will feel like we've addressed everything that's important to address, and I can go to the rest of my community down there and say, hey, I've looked at everything. We can't do it. Or, you know, there are some loopholes. There might be a way to get through this. It'd be really costly. Is this something we want to do or not? And, you know, at least we'll have the facts. But I think that the facts that I've gotten were very untrue most of the time, incomplete. And I feel like we're getting closer to knowing all the facts in this. And at the end of this, I think we'll be in a better position as a city.
Great. Go ahead.
I really appreciated being here today and hearing
You know, it must be absolutely lousy to feel like you're being ganged up. That one part of the city feels like it's being targeted. I can see why that would be very frustrating. Addressing something Rob was talking about, there are others who feel like they're being imposed on because they feel like through the golf course they're indirectly subsidizing the other side of the city, the neighborhoods, things on the other side of the city. So you can kind of see, and I'm not trying to present this as an argument so much as I'm presenting how you can see the argument happen. So I'm not trying to champion sides in this argument, because I can easily see how nobody likes going up and getting picked up every 2 years. I totally get that. I think part of the challenge is both sides dig in so hard that they are no longer speaking to each other, but they're speaking past each other. And that's where I think sometimes a group like this, if we can present the information in a way that the whole city can read it and understand it, perhaps that will help facilitate that conversation.
I will say this, the whole city will not read and understand what we do here. Go ahead, Mark.
No, not very much chance. Just one thing along those lines. Some people here know me, but, you know, I'm former CPA with Republic Accounting. I'm the CFO of a company. I have dealt with complex issues in litigation, and they are not things that people want to deal with. They take an extraordinary amount of focus and time to sort through and weigh through and step through and deal with. Pick any one of these layers we have. No citizen is going to want to deal with that or even think about it. So, skipping that. Now, I think, so I understand, but I know why we're here, and I understand the dynamics of how that came about. From what you said, Rob, it sounds like, and if this is the case, maybe we can kind of get this in there, but if you represent a contingent and you're part of the city, and if you're here to learn on their behalf, if you go back to them and say, hey, this is the answer, do you really speak for them? And is that the end of it?
No.
I don't believe that's the case, because we've kind of gone over this thing.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are many who do trust Rob. And so would his voice carry some weight? Yes. Would it carry weight for everyone? No. But you'll never have.
Can I say this, though? At the end of the last committee, Rob said, I think the best course for the city is to keep the course and watch it mature and watch the finances improve. And that was an absolute. The whole committee felt that way, and Rob's voice was strong on that, and posted on Facebook. That's changed. That's the problem.
I think I said for a few years, and it's been a couple of years.
It's been a year, less than a year.
It's been less than a year?
I think so. Sorry, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah,
I would say it's been a few years.
With all of that, I don't know that you speak for everyone. I don't know if you're really trying to speak for everyone that thinks a certain way. But we're solving the wrong problem here in my mind. This is too narrow to think that this is an either-or answer. I don't know what the end game is for people who don't like the golf course. Do they just want something else? So it's just a matter of opinion. Well, I would like a park. I would like a golf course. That boat sailed in a vote. I voted against the golf course. You've got it. Right? I mean, you can't remake that decision. And the thing that, right, we're thinking too narrow. This is not an either-or. So if it's just somebody else would rather pay for something different, if we go down that path and say, well, we're going to figure out a way to blow up the golf course and get rid of that because we think we now need to satisfy somebody else's opinion as to what's useful or beneficial, that is the very thing that many people in this room hate about government. We absolutely hate the hypocrisy. When a decision has been made, whether we were on the winning side or the losing side, what people would really like in government, I think what I would like is to be able to trust those decisions in your life going forward for many years, decades. Cities should think in terms of decades, not a few years here and there. The planning horizon is forever. This city will outlive every one of us. This golf course thing is a blip in terms of financial impact. So let's not think it's a them against us or a golf course or no golf course. If it really is that we would rather have something else, I think Darren Simon said at the beginning, shoot, let's make a park somewhere. Let's build something. And you know what? Taxes might go up a little bit. We're the middle of the road from a tax perspective. We're not paying extraordinary amounts of tax. If we were talking about getting rid of the golf course and reducing our taxes and giving this money back, I might be on board, but I don't think that's what we're talking about.
Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, the question is you've got a lot of business experience. If you look at the project and said, I'm going to make $150,000 profit per year on this division of my business, and instead your losses showed $500,000 loss per year, how long would you continue that without at least reconsidering? How many years would you do?
If I were in the business of making a profit and not a city?
Yes.
That's the point. Yeah. 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 So the question is, did you go for it in the hopes of making a profit?
I can tell you my opinion.
Because that's how the city council presented it. That's why I think
if you actually listen to the city council, which I don't know if anyone who voted really
yeah, please. I'm sorry.
But I get your point. Right? Your point is, oh, I voted for this thing because it was going to make money.
And that's what the city council presented back then, and the mayor. And so if they presented, you know, it's going to cost us money, do we want it? Then I would say, we never have to look at it again. That's what people voted for. But if they voted for it to reduce their taxes, which it said it would, because it would make a profit, then I say, let's look at it again and see if that's what we want as a city.
We have one comment down here, and then we can continue. Go ahead.
So I had a birthday this past week, and every year I blow candles like we all do. And every year I have the same wish every single year, and it hasn't happened yet. I always wish for world peace, and it hasn't happened yet. My wish for Cedar Hills would be that we as a community would stop. My part of town, or I'm in, us people in the Cedars are persecuted, or we're the ones that are, contributing, or down here, everybody's against the golf course. The people by the golf course love it. I'd like to see someday where we, as a community, just can come together. We can all disagree together, but at some point we have to, basically coexist together and come together on what we own as a city. I guess next year I'm going to wish for peace in Cedar Hills, maybe. Maybe I'm shooting too high for my birthday wishes.
We could probably swap one set of unhappy people for another
probably.
Set. You'd like to do
I mean, that. Having said that, I'm going to go. I live on the far, probably furthest in the golf course you can live, in Cedar Hills. I live right next to the Murdoch Trail. You throw a stone over the fence and you're hitting Pleasant Grove. Nobody in my neighborhood talks about the golf course. So I think in large measure, it's your worldview. It's your view of how you know Cedar Hills, and it's your worldview, and that's the kind of people you talk with, and those are the topics you talk about. No one ever talks about the golf course down in my neighborhood. I think we're pretty far from the course. But I want to go back to your comment about your goal. Your goal is to possibly something better. And I don't know what better is yet. Seems like everything that you've kind of talked about is talking about, we can sell this and sell that, we can pay off the bond and be debt-free, which is a great goal. I think it'd be great if the city didn't have the debt. That's certainly a better thing. But I don't know what we get in return. We get a park, possibly. There's been talk about having a park. Well, what kind of park? Just a bunch of lawn? Or are we going to have playgrounds? Are we going to have tennis courts? I mean, we have a better place in the golf course? That's the part I'm struggling with is, yeah, it might be worth doing all that if we're buying something, we're going to get something in return that's just a park, a generic park. I don't know what that means. So that's the part I'm struggling with is if there was a plan or a master plan of the most awesome park ever that would attract people from around the community, then maybe it's worth pursuing. But if it's just, changing the sign from golf course to park and let's water the grass and we're done, I don't think that's compelling enough.
So my proposal was, if we sold the land east of the highway there, that we would Canyon Road, then we would be able to pay off the bond with that. Barring all the restrictions that we're finding more and more about every day, pay off the debt. There's always arguments about the soccer fields. If there's enough soccer fields, there's in UCS that's trying to find space to play soccer and not finding it for sometimes. So there's that. So with all the land, you could have more soccer fields. There's people, a lot of people have said, I'd like to have a cemetery in the city. And so you could have a cemetery. There's a lot of good things.
Can I say this something, Rob? At this point, none of this stuff's even an option right now, according to what we're talking about.
Right.
It isn't even available.
But I didn't know that until I asked the question.
I know, that's good.
Here's something I want to bring up, though. Okay, so the reason that I wanted to look at this is because anytime I've seen anyone even ask questions, I've seen them shout it down. Okay, and without any good reason. And it's happened every time I've seen anyone bring up, is there any other options? And it develops that us versus them mentality. I wanted to look at it. I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know the mayor was going to say, let's call a committee. I just said, there's a lot of people in my area that have asked me personally, please look and see if there's something to do with the golf course.
Can I answer the shout-out down? I'm going to get a second.
I'd like to finish.
Okay. I'll shout you down in a minute, but
okay.
Right now I'll let
okay,
you go.
Okay, so there's been people that have asked me to do this, and there's people cheering me on because they wanted us to look at it, and I'm asking hard questions that a lot of them have never been asked before, I don't think, and a lot of the answers I have not seen, and I've asked previous council members all the time, and they don't know the answer to these questions. We're learning more than I've ever known and than I've ever heard people knowing right now with our attorneys, and this is going to satisfy a lot of people asking me just going through this, but I'm getting shouted down tonight. You know, I don't know if clapping is appropriate in meetings like this, but is that something that's protocol in meetings for everyone to clap? But I'm being shouted down because I, as a city council member, want to look and see if losing money on the golf course is good for the city. And so me just asking questions as a city council person has made it so that anger is pointed towards me when I haven't even decided I want to shut down the golf course. I just said I want to propose a proposition, see what legal ramifications there are, see if it could be good for the city. If it is, then I would promote it and say, I want to do this. But I haven't got to that point. I'm just asking questions at this point. And, you know, it got a lot of uproar. It caused the mayor to say, let's have this committee, which I thought was a good thing because then more people will know that we're looking at this. But the shouting down that I'm getting today does not provide peace, I don't think. I think people saying, I understand where you're coming from, and a lot of people on your side of the city you're coming from, they want to make sure that it's worth it to the city, make sure there's not things stopping us from doing something else that may be better for some, you know, some that don't like golf, but there's not the understanding coming this way at all. And
okay, let me have a chance to answer this, and I'll turn it over to give it to Rob first. I'll say this first. Mm-hmm. I've seen people say, there's a section of the city whose voice has not been heard, and their voice has to be heard. As just a citizen of Cedar Hills, I'm not a member of the council or anywhere, I would say that is not true. I would say the voice is being heard over and over and over and over again. And it's getting to the point where people are just going, why are we doing this again and again and again? How many city councils do we have to have? How many commissions over the same thing over and over again? The idea that a voice isn't being heard, it just isn't true because it just happens all the time. There are people who have tuned out who don't want to go back 12 years of history of golf course, blah, 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 and all that. And that's fine. And that's great. There's going to be a lot of that. You're not going to get through that. Shut it down. I can't help you. I mean, if you're going to say something that is going to turn people's lives upside down, they're going to shut you down. They're going to be frustrated. I don't know what your definition of shouted down is, but you're going to want to make a dramatic change, major surgery in this city, flipping it upside down. If you're happy with the city, If you get up in the morning and you're happy every day, you like room to breathe and elbow room, and you love the open space, you love it. The other side of it always comes back. I want to shut that down. I want to shut that down. I want to shut that down. I don't know. I can't just sit back, and others can't just sit back and say, well, go, yeah, give it a try. You know, let's build something. You know, I look at the St. Andrews Estates and I'm saying, okay, well, the big plan is to make all these great new developments, these housing developments. They're going to pay for all of these wonderful things. But we have a test market, spent $1 million to do it. $1 million. $1 million more. Okay, $550,000 spent, done. And it just sits and nobody's buying it. I mean, it might happen later. And if it does, that's great. It can go down to solve some of the problems you're concerned about. But we haven't seen that great development happen, and to expect to just wide open that and multiply that over and over and over again, you may end up with the exact same problem you have right now, just a torn down golf course that brings in no income and just tracts of land that just sits, and the city's in the real estate business. I don't know. Rob, go ahead.
Well, I said it last time. I've lived here for 15 years, and I've heard the arguments, but I don't hear them in my own neighborhood. They're out there. There's a vocal few. And it's the same thing over and over again. And that's why I said last time, we've got to figure out a way to put this to bed. And if that, a lot of it's going to come from you, though.
Right. And that's what I want to be. I want to be the voice to put it to bed.
Okay, here's my question. And people are passionate, and you know that I'm passionate about things as well. 2 years ago, we sat on the same committee together, right? You weren't on the council then. We were given a charge
to put out the ugly numbers of the golf course, right? Do you believe that we did?
I do, but I still see council members saying they're operating a profit.
Okay, I'm not going to go down that road. You agreed with the numbers that
right,
we put
right.
out.
Yeah, they agree with my numbers.
Okay.
And we,
Mr. Cromart, let's not go down that road. We presented to the city in a meeting, right, the numbers. Okay, our second charge was to come up with ideas and ways to increase revenue to the golf course. And part of that was this building, right? 2 years later, we sit in a meeting, Shara last week posted the numbers. We are trending in a very positive way. So that committee 2 years ago, we did exactly what I think you wanted us to do and what supposedly those vocal few wanted us to do, right? So why now, 2 years later, are we coming up with another argument, and this time it's based on shutting down the course? My question is, I read through all of your proposals, as I'm trying to figure out, is it really about saving the citizens money, taxes, or is it about subsidizing something else? Because let's say the council tonight, our legal council, said you can do everything that you want to do. We can sell off land, we can pay down the bond. We can sell off land. Let's say we have enough money when we sell off land to actually build the parks. How much do you think you're going to subsidize those parks? You're going to subsidize those parks more than you would the golf course. So what's the, I want to make sure we're not going down a hypocritical path. What is the end game? Do you want something different, or do you want to save the citizens'
I think money? I just feel like as a responsibility as a council member to understand why we're spending the money we're spending on the golf course. And that's why we're bringing it up and trying to look at other options to see if there are other options, and if there are, can we do anything or not. So I feel
are you in a position at some point soon to say, you know what, we've gone down that road. We've discussed it in executive meetings.
Sorry.
We've discussed it with our legal counsel, and we just can't do it. Are you in a position soon to say, you know what, we just can't do it? Or how much do you want to spend to get to that point? And I'm sorry that I'm passionate, but I'm passionate about it.
I think you're doing good. That's the point I want to get to.
Can you help us know what that point is?
As soon as I get all my questions answered, and we're going to close.
Who are we asking the questions to?
The attorneys. The questions we asked the attorneys to do today, I got a lot of answers in the executive session.
Okay.
There's still a few. We ran out of time, but I'm getting close to that position where I can say it. And just so you guys know, I didn't know that it was going to blow up this big and have these meetings. I just was doing my job of looking at the numbers as a city council member. The community, you know, got all excited about both sides of it. I just thought it would be something that I kind of did on my own. But this isn't what I had in mind, having us, doing this. I wanted to get the answers from the attorneys. But I did want the community to know that it was happening so that when it's done, and everyone knows that we've looked really thoroughly at this, and it's something that
we're
not...
Well, let me just say one more thing.
Quick, Robin, let's get trending.
You say that you just want the answers, but then you put out a proposal to the public without the knowledge of those questions, without the answers to those questions. And that's why I was upset.
And it wasn't just a sterile set of numbers. There were all kinds of, especially the first post. I mean, it was a lot of, golf is on the decline. It was a lot of perspective. It was an advocacy position. And I've looked past a lot of other city council. I mean, the last city council that did this before was loaded, Rob, with a lot of your comments and numbers. And they've improved over time. There's been some of those numbers that were not correct. And they've improved with experience, right?
Right.
So it isn't just that way. Trent, please.
So this is exactly where I was hoping we wouldn't get to. But having this conversation several months ago, I knew this is probably where it was going to end. I think part of the reason that we're here tonight is because it wasn't Rob asking questions. You asked some questions, and then you immediately put out a proposal and said, I want to close down this hole, and I want to do this with it. And you put out a proposal as what you thought was the best thing. It wasn't about you asking the question. If you would have come to the council and said, I would like to ask this question, and this question, and we truly kept it just to the questions, I don't think we would be having this type of conversation. I think it would have been steered much differently. And in addition to that, I mean, you've now spent hundreds, if not thousands of dollars with our attorneys doing legal research and all this background, where if we would have had specific questions that we focused on, had the attorneys answer them, we wouldn't be wasting all the committee's time, residents' time, council time, staff time. I mean, we have to pay our staff to put together a lot of this information because their time isn't free either. So I don't think it's about just the questions. It's about the proposal and what you put out there previous to what this committee could do.
You know, I have asked our attorney some questions in the past, and he has said, if I don't know exactly what's being proposed, then I don't know whether to say yay or nay that we can or can't do this. And that was part of the issue, and part of the issue is, what questions can you ask when you have no idea what you're wanting to do, or what you could do, or what city residents would want? How's an attorney going to answer a question? Can we do something that we don't know what we want to do yet?
Right,
so I feel like I had to at least put something out there and then see what the attorney can
and
say.
That's fine.
And
yeah,
Mark, and then you. Is that all right? He had it first. Mark, go ahead, make a comment, and then right here. Yeah.
Yeah. So simply, this seems like we can reach an easy conclusion. This looks like a simple case of, even if you could do something, should you? Because you would be ripping the rug out from so many people in the city. Even if we could find a way to weave our way to some other conclusion. And I don't know that it's clear that the end game is better at all.
And I don't buy that one half of the city wants the golf course closed and the other half wants it open. That is as anecdotal as it gets. And the city's too small to be divided, right? The city's too small to be divided like that.
And
I don't buy that.
And if it's because people that you're talking to, and Ken, I know you're one of them, if you just want something else, let's go down a positive path to see how to create something else. I mean, one of the biggest evidences of rehashing this and getting nowhere is that land that's sitting out there that nobody's purchased. And the only reason that's sitting there is because the same voices had this same conversation. And so we actually wrecked the golf course.
We did. And every time I golf, I frustrate.
It's okay.
I know.
It's okay. We made it worse.
Yeah.
But it's
we
okay.
Did, I know.
It was a compromise
Didn't help.
Position. It was a compromise position to try to pay down the debt and get somewhere and find.
Okay, one down here. We got to get to
Jim. Let's choose a positive direction. We can do more than just choose between golf course or not.
I like it. Go ahead.
I just wanted to go back to the question Mark asked when he first came with why we're here. I do think some positive comes from this. We talked about the white paper. I think a lot of the work that Rob's done can be very beneficial to the citizens for helping people participate. So I think some of the criticism that he's done, Rob, is a lot fair. Whether you want the course or not, I think bringing the facts and transparency to light is what's going to put it to bed. So we talked about our purpose, maybe what this committee can close with, maybe be of value to the future. It would be to take those facts, do this white paper we talked about, enumerate the possibilities that were discussed and why we don't think they work. So in the future, when it comes up, there's something that points
easier.
To very easily. Of
Let's move to the end and discuss that. And I will say this, Rob, I don't think it may sound like disrespect, but it really is just disagreement. To be honest, I don't feel any disrespect, and I don't disrespect even the other side of the argument. I mean, I get it. You know, this argument's been around for a long, long time. The frustration level gets up when I feel like it's just a circular problem. And you know there are voices on this, Rob. You know there are voices on this that, and short of a public hanging, this will never go away. Do you get me on that? I mean, short of rounding up people and hanging them from the trees in the golf course, it will never, never
that
go
might be
away.
Three or four people in the city.
It might be.
So
okay, hold on.
This is something I talked with the mayor about and others about 2 years ago, the previous committee's meeting and the results that we came up with. I feel like once there was a consensus about where the city was, where the golf course was financially, at least for me and also for names I spoke to, it did seem like a lot of the frustration started to dissipate. It didn't disappear overnight. It started to dissipate because the argument was no longer about where are we. Because there used to be a huge argument about where are we. So at least if we can present it as, in fact, even with the outcome of this, if we can present it as, this is where we are. These are the legal challenges to these suggested things. This is where we are. Once the public can see where we are, it helps a lot of the frustration get dissipated.
I know at the beginning of this meeting there was a discussion of what this committee is going to do. So can we move to that point? Do you have more to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think
to there.
My goal is to get there. If I was on the Planning Commission now, this is where I'd be making a motion.
To get there.
To get
there. Let's get there.
And, you know, I'd be making a motion to basically, and I don't know if it's proper for the committee members to voice their opinion or their form of a vote, but I would make a motion basically listing these legal concerns. And that, you know, yay or nay, is it worth, you know, the city pursuing overcoming these legal concerns?
Let's start with that.
That's what the motion
I
made.
Is that the first? I second that motion. I think we can go down this list. Is that the first thing we want to discuss? Is basically a short, concise. We can go with a white paper this direction. If we can then make it into a concise statement or whatever, that's fine that we agree with. But should that be something this committee should put together? A basic understanding of what the legal restrictions are to doing these things on the golf course? Are you all good with that?
Yes.
Anybody disagree with that?
Well, does anybody disagree with the legal opinions we were given tonight? Is my question. That's what I want to know. Are we all in consensus that the legal advice we were given is how we don't want to go down? Is my question.
I thought his description at the beginning was probably as far as we could go.
Yeah.
I thought enumerating what the potential hurdles would be, meaning the bond, the conservation easement, and just identifying why there are these hurdles, saying we're not lawyers here, we didn't get down to the nitty-gritty, so we can't say that these would stop other options, but it does present significant problems.
And I think we can come up with a concise two paragraphs, right?
And list those six things.
Is that what we're talking about?
Mr. Shaw talked about. I think that lets people understand of what the hurdles are.
The one thing that you need to be very cautious about is laying out a roadmap for people to sue the city.
True.
That would be very easy to do in this context because there are so many different angles to deal with this from. And that's why I've been deliberately a little bit vague in my description of those documents and how they all interact. That's been deliberate.
Which is why I say 1 to 2 paragraphs on the legal situation. That's what we're talking about. This committee can come up with 1 to 2 paragraphs, Mark and then Rob.
Yeah, but be careful not to set a roadmap.
We'll give it to you first.
I just have a question we can clarify. Eric, I believe it was you that mentioned the white paper. What is that? As you mentioned that, what would that look like?
Is it mentioned a white paper? I said I hadn't done one.
Exactly.
I know.
You're the first one
with
those
terms.
Label circles, a white paper typically is where an attorney sets forth the legal implications on something, and there's a legal analysis, and I think we just discussed that we don't want to put out a white paper.
Who did I say second? Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
I think there should be two white papers, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. One for the public that's more vague on certain issues, and one that's for city council that's only to be...
Maybe you just need
council,
an executive discussion with
executive
city council.
But when someone becomes a city council member, these are the issues that are further, that are not to be discussed outside of city council, and so they understand a little more. So I think there should be two.
Okay, something on the legal status, we'll deal with that. Go ahead.
I asked this an hour or so ago. Would that be more, these white papers, would that be more than any other committee or council has put out there to help harden what we're talking about?
I have no hesitation to say that the city council over the years has then provided many dozens of pages of legal analysis on these issues. It's been extensive. Those are subject to attorney-client privilege.
Can we say it? And we also have the covenants we could look at as well for this.
I just think one of the challenges that a lot of people encounter outside of this setting is because it's presented to the city council, but the general public, to protect the city, often is left in the dark, and I think that's also part of why these discussions continue.
I agree, but it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter. Go ahead, Mark.
I would say, so I like Rob's idea of maybe two documents. I would suggest, though, for something that this committee puts out for citizen consumption, that it, to some degree, and that, you know, even if it does expose some potential legal
you know, strategies or exposure to being sued. At least a high level description of the agreements in play, the an outline of, hey, these are the things that are impediments.
The hurdles,
these
right.
These are the hurdles, these are the agreements, this is kind of where what it addresses. Something, you know, it doesn't have to be 10 pages, but it could be a page or two. It needs a little more than, hey,
and we can also do it the next meeting. We can sit down and go through the particulars of each of the things we want to produce. I think if we decide what we want to produce out of this committee, then we can spend time on each of those things, deciding what needs to be in each one.
One of us to keep the legal thing out would be, rather than have a list of impediments to change, just have a list of some of the obligations to stay the same, and then we're just stating the facts of what it is.
Yeah.
And if we just state the facts as they are, then people understand, and people can make their own interpretation of what type of hurdle that is for a change.
Yeah.
And then an executive committee, we can decide if that's too good.
Sure.
Go ahead, Priscilla.
Reading it or care about it.
We will do our best.
I'm not in favor of two documents for exactly what he said. The council has dozens and reams of paper about all of this stuff, and it's a waste of everybody's time and energy to produce the same stuff over and over ad nauseum for them. The council has it. They know it. They can read it. I mean, I think as a committee, yes, we need to come up with something which explains what those things are so the public understands. But to say, well, we need to have a separate document that the council's privy to, that's just simply repetitive and redundant.
Okay.
I will say that there's a lot of questions we had today for the attorneys that we didn't have the answers to. So I'm saying whatever we learn, we really need to talk about it.
But if it's in an executive committee, it's there for a reason.
Right.
You know? So, all right, let's go to the next one. I would suggest that we also produce, from the last time that this committee met, or this met, to the state of the golf course today, what we basically covered in our first meeting. We probably ought to work with Charles and have some basic outline of how we're trending, how we're doing. It's to a lot of people, it's the information that never gets published. It's always the 12 years ago I was lied to about how much it was going to cost, and now this is what loaded words like how much the golf course loses. And you know, we don't talk about how much parks lose, we don't talk about the base, it's just how much it costs. It just costs the city this much money to provide a golf course. So in more sterile language, with a lot less perspective involved, I suspect we ought to have something that talks about what's happened since the committee met. Does anybody disagree with that? You do.
I don't think Cheryl can change his financials to say cost instead of net loss.
Oh, it's fine. His financials can stay just fine.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Cheryl, what's the term?
From the city, so net income loss, you know.
Yeah, I'm not talking about changing anything that isn't accurate. Do cities lose? Because if you do cities
really, really, you gotta pick the format. Because Rob has a format. I mean, the financials have a format, and your last presentation had a format. Depending on your perspective, I mean, you can look at it however you want. I mean, one format is just to look at operational costs. One is to and keep debt service separately. One is to combine those and say that's the expenses, and one's the cash flow format. That's kind of what you guys used last time, is you had the cash flow numbers that you're doing. But do you include things like capital acquisitions or reconfiguration costs? You know, is that the golf course fault that it was reconfigured? It wasn't really its fault. You know, that's not really an operational cost.
Plus, wasn't the pressurized irrigation system also?
You guys need to decide the format that you want, and then we can put it out there.
And wasn't
if you like the format from last time, it's easy. And Mark and Rob could update that format. If you like Rob's format, then use that. Or if you want just to show the financials and then what the budget is for the upcoming year and try to explain the budget, that's another way to do it.
Well, can we debate and compromise on what the forum needs to be?
Yeah.
I think it's the next
okay.
agenda.
Yeah, debate and compromise. We'll find something.
Well, I feel like we had a very complex, semi-complex document that we produced last time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the majority of citizens, the vast majority of citizens, want to know, this is how much the golf course makes, and they think the golf course is the actual golf course, this building, they see all that in their head as the golf course. So this is how much it makes, this is how much the city has to subsidize, so this is the net loss or gain, and then they're happy with that. They want to bottom line it. I don't think they really want to look at every single expenditure I don't think they're going to pay attention to it. I don't think they care. I think people want to know, this is how much it makes, this is how much it loses, this is how much it costs. Me personally, my taxes are X because of this. Do I as a citizen feel it's worth X to continue this or not, whatever? But I just think that we're trying to be too precise. Those numbers exist, and anybody who wants to see it can go into the city and see it. But 99% of the citizens, when they open their water bill and they see some lovely little message, aren't really going to care about all of those financial things.
And I would say this. It's in nobody's interest to hide numbers. If we start hiding numbers, then it just makes other people mad. We'll do what we did last time. We'll make something everybody's happy with. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree that what goes out to the public would probably be fairly high level. But I would strongly emphasize that we make sure it's the true cost of the golf course, not hide anything. Yes, but capital expenditures. Well, over the long haul, those are going to be the true cost of the golf course. You know, 5, 10 years down the road, we're going to have to rehaul our irrigation system. That's going to be $1 million. You know, 20 years down the road, this is going to have to be rehab. So we just need to make sure it's the true cost. And I think we've got enough CPAs here that we can probably get.
And involved in that, like you say, there's a lot in that bond that isn't just golf course. We need to make sure. If we're going to do that, we also need to pull out what isn't golf course.
So right now we separate event rentals for this building and other items that happen in this building in our general fund. It's not part of the golf fund. So one of your debates you're going to have is, do we include the revenues and expenditures of this whole building, or do we isolate golf? Because it's a totally different perspective on depending on whether you combine the numbers or separate them.
And it depends on, is this building a rec center, or is it a clubhouse?
I would say yes. You include it, because this is
yes.
There's a symbiotic relationship between the two.
So, I mean, you can have a bunch of statements that show one story, and you can have a bunch of statements that show both stories, and you're still going to have some people saying, yes, my point's right, and other people are going to say, yes, my point's right.
Let's get both stories told. Yeah. Good enough. Everybody's happy, both stories told. If you're not happy, I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Let's just get both stories told. We'll compromise. We'll get it done. Okay, what else should this company put together? And I'm going to say this. We're not going to start trying to find out what it costs to put a cemetery in, right? Does everybody agree with that now? Or we're not going to try and find out what it costs to redevelop the golf course land? Did you want to go through that, down that, with in light of what we've heard from the attorneys, all the hoops we have to go through, do we want to start trying to do that? That was the beginning hope, I think, because a lot of what you're doing, try to recreate what you're doing with another group of people. But
my hope with this group of people?
No, I don't know what your hope was. But yeah, well, I know, yes, no, I'm going to say that. No, we had a conversation beforehand. You're saying, well, a lot of minds get together. My hope would be, although my hope is, that we don't do that. I don't want to spend my time doing that.
Well, I'll tell you, if I don't at least from my end finish my analysis on my own, if you guys don't want to do it as a committee, that's fine. But if I don't at least finish it, then people might be that okay to shut Rob down.
What do you want to analyze? That's the question. That's the next product.
Without costing a lot of money.
Right. I would probably at least wrap up my thoughts and you know, whether you guys want to do it here or want to review them later, that's up to you. But I will at least wrap up my thoughts because I'm not going to just cut off everything I'm looking at personally because a committee was formed.
Okay, well, so, we'll come back to that. Go ahead, Gordon.
I just want to make one point, though. We brought this up last week. Now that we have a legal that we asked for, please don't send out anything else. We're feeling the repercussions of course. The more you continue to do it, it's tougher and tougher for staff to be able to put out fires. So in the long run, it's hurting us because we're losing future revenue, future sales, because people come in daily and say, when are you closing down? And we need to minimize that.
Okay, so I think we can. You want to finish what you're doing and have the committee review it line by line. I'm happy to do
if
that.
If they want to.
I think it's fine. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. We're here for the long term. I like to stay as a committee until you feel like you come to a position where either A, you feel like it's not worth pursuing, and so the reason why, and it's all.
The white paper did probably address a lot of that.
Or B, it is pursuing.
No, the white paper we're not doing, remember.
You may disagree with the committee altogether and still think it's worth pursuing.
I think we should at least, I don't know if we need a white paper from an attorney, but at least as a council, we need to say, here's why we're not doing it. If we're not looking further at it, here's why we're not, and here's the reasons. And I mean, at least as a minimum, I prepare that for a future person that came on the
council. I think that's job one. It's the biggest hurdle. It's the if that's done, then the rest of it is irrelevant, really. If that's just a bridge too far, then the rest of it is fun to think about. But
And I would say before you brought anything to the citizens to vote on, that would be the thing. You'd have to bring in and say, do we want to go down the road to have that fight? That would be the interesting, because that's the reality. Does the city want to take on that fight? And, you know, that's fine. Okay, so we're going to talk about the legal issues, the hurdles we have to jump in order to do this. We're going to talk about the state of the golf course financials that tells everybody's story as best they can. We're going to review what you're working on, what brought us here in the first place. We'll go through each of that line by line and discuss. What about some smaller releases, quicker releases? Does anybody want something smaller and quicker? Or are we just gonna, is this our product?
My opinion is we publish a product at the end of our conclusion versus piecemeal. Okay. That's my opinion.
All right, I like that.
Unless
everybody agree with that?
That something sooner to say there's a lot of hurdles and. You know, if something would help the golf course to say there's a lot
no,
of
I just, I think the best thing is just keeping it in-house until we get to that point.
For instance, I know that when a lot of the stuff you continue to post, and I don't post, you know, and none of us post. We really talked about not posting, and none of us post. It isn't because I don't want to post. You know what I'm saying? It isn't because I don't want to throw something out there that says, hey, there's a lot of perspective here, and there's other perspectives that are, to be honest, are really missing. There's only one side that's being kind of thrown out there. The other side is all kind of held back and said, well, we got this responsible thing. There's a lot of comments on what you post.
I saw a lot of full sites.
No, a lot of comments in what you post.
Right.
That's different. I mean, we're not talking about these big initiatives. It's just mostly just, oh, people, oh, man, leave me alone, or hey, awesome, you know. But it's not the same thing. So I agree. But I think we need to get it done fast, right? And try to get it out before we go too far down this election so that people who are running for office can have something. There's two issues facing the city in a big way, right? There's this and there's what's building down on that corner. And I think this needs to be out early and quick enough for people to make their decisions, right? Okay. Anything else we want to do with this committee?
I'd like to correct a couple items.
Please.
That's okay. So I'll just go quick. Priscilla, in our state of the city report, we try and document a lot of the golf course. So and Jenny and I are preparing this. She does most of the work. I think you'll find this year, but past years, some really good information about the history of the golf course. So if the residents read that, I do think they're going to be able to find that. And maybe we can add even more this year. What else did I want to say? Oh. I didn't want any of you to leave with the misconception about St. Andrews Estates, and that we've talked about this for a long time, and that if we have a clear path to sell it, I think we're open to that. I'm not sure we have a clear path yet, but we've kind of waited until there's a healthier real estate market. I think it could be argued that maybe we do, so I think we're open to that, but I don't think that there's probably enough to pay off all the debt, and it was said earlier that we can pay off the debt if we sell those lots. There's 22 of them. If they average $150,000 a lot, then that's $3.3 million. We own over six, about six. And so there's still money that would still left to be paid, and I just want to be clear on that.
Can I make one quick comment in specific regard to that? Those lots right now are paper lots. They're not developed lots. There are no utilities. There's no sidewalks, anything like that. So even the estimate from a contractor and developer standpoint of $150,000, I think, is way high.
Yeah.
Because there's streets, utilities, and everything that costs tens of thousands of dollars per lot to install. So honestly, I mean, you're probably under $100,000 per lot.
Just
to temper those expectations.
One on the council and one citizen mentioned today of the thought of not selling that as building lots. But is it reality that we want more things? Are we more interested in building and developing more parks, more whatever?
I think that's a discussion that the council will have for sure. And that's why I said I'm not sure there's a clear path. But if there is a clear path, then we can take a look at that. And so, and Rob, I do want to clear up one thing. You said that the council, and maybe I in particular, had shut you down in terms of your efforts, in terms of talking about the golf course. I don't think that's at all the case. I think you said it earlier, but in any case, whenever you
I said that I don't want people to think that.
Good.
If everyone said, Rob, you can't look at it anymore, you're done.
I at least have to wrap up.
Because I don't think the council ever told you, and I know I never told you, don't do this.
I agree.
I think what the council did say, and what I told you very clearly, is the obstacles are high, and yet you chose to go this path. So that's right. so that's where we are.
I propose. Go ahead.
And so the final thing is just that I hope that you and your contingent do what I've been recommending for a long time, is just, like Rick said, for some of you, this issue is never going to go away. I believe that. But this should be a political issue. And so what I think you should do, or whoever, is that you should make this your campaign issue. So no one has ever been, I think, completely honest, and if they had the courage of their convictions, when they ran, they would say, I want to shut down the golf course, who's with me? That would be the honest thing to do. And then you'd, because if you have an initiative by the residents, the taxpayers of Cedar Hills pay for that initiative. So I don't think that the residents should pay for the political endeavors of someone else. And so that's why I think this is a political issue, and if you want to, if this keeps coming up, do it the political way, which is just say, I want to shut down the golf course, who's with me? And I'm not saying that specifically back to you.
I'm saying if I feel that way, I can assure you I'll be honest about it.
That's
it. It took a lot of conviction to do this. It takes a lot less just to say I want to shut it down.
I think that is the solution rather than doing this every 3 or 3 years.
Unless I find that it should be done, I'm not going to say it should. And that's why it's not a political issue for me, because I haven't come to that conclusion. But if I do, you'll know.
Yeah. I will say this. I don't pussyfoot around, but I've been on this committee long enough and seen Paul Sorensen, I heard him deny completely that he wanted to shut down the golf course, and I've been listening to him wanting to shut down the golf course for a decade. So it just didn't ring true to me. It rang very false. And so if that is, you know, it tells me that they know that this is something that there is no will to do. And unless they do feel that way, then they need to stand up and be who they are. And then it's fine. Then let the chips fall.
It's just politically
unattractive. And again, I don't care because I'm running for anything. I can say that out loud. Because I've heard it. He came into our committee and testified just before he left on his mission. And I was there and heard everything that he said specifically. You know, I know where he stands. And then I've seen, well, no, you don't know what I stand for. I know what he stands for. Okay. Sorry. Anyway, I propose that we end this committee for today, reconvene next Thursday, and begin working on some of these things.
I'll second.
Good? Both?
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Done.
Next Thursday, same time.
Next Thursday.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's good. They have fewer trucks today than normal.